Bob Krulish spent years dealing with bipolar disorder before he finally got a correct diagnosis. Now he coaches people with mental illness in the LEAP approach, which is to listen, empathize, agree, and partner. He joins us along with Andrew Hollenbeck to talk about an upcoming workshop in this month's edition of Mental Health Matters. Good morning to both of you, and welcome to The Exchange.
Good morning, Mel.
Good morning, Mel.
Well, Bob, give us a little background about, I was reading about how you went years with an incorrect diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Well, I became symptomatic when I was about 16 with a lot of bipolar symptoms. I had a pretty tragic family event occur. It kind of triggered my genetic propensity to become bipolar because there's a history of it in my family, and I lived a very unsuccessful life for a long time. I did eventually get married around 30 and started having children, managed to get through college in between episodes, but all this time I did not know I had bipolar disorder, and I had been diagnosed later on in life with anxiety disorder because I was working in a very stressful environment in my career. And that med actually was an antidepressant that put me into a gigantic, massive manic episode. That's what happens with people with bipolar. And so that all happened about when I was about 51 years old. So I went 35 years misdiagnosed or undiagnosed and certainly untreated or improperly treated with bipolar. And then at 51, after losing everything in my life, and I mean everything, there was really nothing left of my life. I found the right doctor that diagnosed me with the right diagnosis.
And today we want to talk about the LEAP approach. And tell us a little bit, first of all, how you became aware of that and what it specifically is all about.
Sure. I have been, since I've been properly diagnosed and been very healthy and well, I've been speaking for the National Alliance on Mental Illness. I've given about 100 talks for them. And in that, I became, people asked me to be a coach, help mostly parents helping me coach them through their son or daughter's illness. And one of the things I discovered about bipolar and schizophrenia is that more than half, are not aware they're sick. They have their brain is a bit more broken than people, than just a normal schizophrenia or bipolar. These people have no awareness of their sickness and can't have any awareness of their sickness. And I was really looking into that unawareness of their illness is called anosognosia. And I found a lot of papers written by Dr. Javier Amador, and I learned that he had an approach to this called LEAP. He had created an approach, and I finally was able to go after just a couple of years of just reading everything he wrote to one of his programs and became a certified instructor in the LEAP method.
This anosognosia, as I was trying to read a little bit before our interview and prepare, in the world, if that's the right term for people who do have some kind of mental illness, they must make a rational view, even if it's irrational to the rest of us, it's rational to themselves. And is that part of the process, excuse me, of why they deny their own mental illness?
Well, it's a little bit more than that. It's not just a behavioral thing. It's actually a chemistry thing. There's and brain structures. They've done many studies, both post-mortem and on live people doing brain imaging, and found that the people with anosognosia have different brain structures than the people without. And they also have more of what's called gray matter, and they have a lot of different brain structure differences in their prefrontal lobe of their brain. So it's actually a very marked difference in the structure and in the content of their brain that causes them to not be able to put two and two together. They, I often say it's kind of like, remember when we used to develop film? That dates me a bit, but we used to develop film, and we'd go to the drugstore and get the picture. Well, these people, it's like they took the picture, but they never got the film developed. Mm-hmm. It just didn't happen.
I'm as I was reading also for this, it sort of triggered a memory of a friend of mine from years ago that I grew up with and knew into adulthood. And he had an experience where he'd had some altercations, nothing too major, but some altercations with a neighbor. You know, those happen sometimes. And
sure.
And he started believing that he could hear his neighbor and his neighbor's wife plotting against him, and he could hear it through the bathroom sink. He could hear it coming through the plumbing and up in. And so because I knew him for so long, when he told me this experience, luckily I didn't laugh at him or anything like that, but I just tried to listen and understand him. I mean, I'm wondering if I sort of inadvertently fell into the leap process without even knowing what it was. I mean, is that part of it? Is just to try to, you know, I was trying to acknowledge the reality of the altercation with the neighbor, which was not delusional, but of course I was trying to put aside hearing it through the bathroom plumbing, which was, So is this?
You did a good job, Mel, and that what, just real quickly, so when people have delusions, hallucinations, the paranoia, the psychosis, that's actually caused by too much dopamine in their brain. Their brain just makes too much dopamine. And that excess amount causes psychosis. So we take, like myself, I have that very thing too. I take an antipsychotic. An antipsychotic is a dopamine blocker. So your friend had too much dopamine was causing this psychosis. And the thing that you were very acute and aware of is you really can't talk somebody into a delusion and you can't talk them out of it because it's the dopamine that's talking. It's not him. And so meeting, I always teach about meeting them where they are and staying with them. Not a, you don't have to agree. You could say, hey, my friend, I'm not having that experience, but I know you are. Tell me more about your experience. And you can be, you can have a conversation about it, which is part of the LEAP method, is to try to meet them where they are, use listening, empathizing, agree, and partnership skills.
Now, I was going to ask Andra, if next month you're hosting Bob, is that correct? Or there's an upcoming workshop, is that correct for NAMI?
Yes, we're having Bob is holding a workshop for us, and it's online. It's on Zoom on October 8th at 1 o'clock, from 1 to 4 o'clock. And the link for it is on our website, namisouthernoregon.org. And it's a really great workshop. I've actually been through it a couple of times. And every time I learn more, and I feel like my skills develop better. And it has really helped me personally, just in my life with when I encounter folks who are having delusions or psychosis. And then, of course, we refer to this a lot in our support group, in our family support group, our family and friends support group that meets weekly on Wednesday evenings, both on Zoom and in person. And we often refer to this and talk about how we can use it with our loved ones. It's a just remarkably helpful approach. And I think it does both. It lowers the stress level, both for people around them, like you with your friend, and also for the person themselves, because I think there's a great deal of frustration when someone is experiencing something that nobody else is, and they're so convinced it's real, and it just kind of exacerbates the situation. It makes it worse. And so we want to encourage anyone who might have someone or work with people that might be experiencing psychosis or delusion to go and register for that workshop on October 8th.
And is I read online, I think, that this is part two. Is that correct?
Well, we've had one before. It'll be pretty similar to what we've had before, I believe. Isn't that right, Bob?
It will be similar to what I'll do. I'm adding just a little bit more around the agree and partnership piece, but it's going to be very similar to what I've done before. And
that's really good, because I find that in our support group and when working with people, that's often the part that gets the most, that is probably the most difficult to kind of navigate or implement in the communication skill, is those last two parts. And so that will be really good to emphasize that those last parts.
And so if a person did not attend the first one, they're still okay to register for this one. It's not like prerequisite or anything
that.
No,
not at all.
Well, let's go into a little bit more about the actual LEAP, what the individual components are. This was started by Dr. Xavier Amador. Is that correct? Was he the person who developed this? And he had his own family situation that sort of led to this, correct?
That's right. He had a brother named Henry who they had a tremendously great relationship early on in their life. And then Henry's schizophrenia got triggered, and he was in and out of the hospital a lot. Henry had anosognosia. Henry would say things like, "I'm not sick. I don't need help. I don't need these meds. There's nothing wrong with me." And it was a very frustrating thing for Dr. Amador, because he was at that time becoming a clinical psychologist. He was going through his residency program, and Henry would keep going to the hospital and he'd throw away his meds, keep going to the hospital, throw away his meds. And in the course of Dr. Amador's residency, he was talking to one of his patients, and his clinical supervisor overheard him, and he pulled him aside and said, "Javier, you are not listening to your patients. You're not really listening." And that took him on a whole path through motivational interviewing, cognitive behavior therapy, and some other disciplines that he went through to develop LEAP. And what LEAP does is, first, the listening part is reflective listening with empathy, and that builds connection and rapport with the person. And we go through that whole thing in the workshop about how to reflect somebody's comments, and how to build rapport, and how to stay in rapport with somebody. And then we talk about how do we find some areas of agreement. You know, one of the things we want to help our loved one with is usually accomplishing their goals or getting closer to their desires. So I have a neat little line that I use to help people uncover their goals. I say something like this. I would say, "Milt, you know, for your life to be even better than it is right now, what would be one or two things you'd like to have more of?" And we do that more question. And we do it also by saying, "What would you like to have less of?" And we uncover some things that we might be able to agree to partner with our loved one. So they might say, "I'd like to have less hospitalizations," or "I'd like to have more money," or "I'd like to have less stress or more sleep," or whatever it might be. And that's how we go through the LEAP method, is really how to communicate in a way that builds rapport, that builds trust, and that helps us help our loved ones move through some of their or obtain some of their goals and desires.
And LEAP is not a replacement for traditional therapies. It's a supplement for family and friends, correct?
That's right. It's not for the individual. It's it's for the supporters, and the individual would do well by having treatment, and treatment usually means medication and therapy. But this is more for the parents or the spouse or another supporter of somebody with a serious mental illness.
And you mentioned earlier that the percentage of people that suffer from this anosognosia. Maybe, Andra, in your experience in Southern Oregon, do we have, in your opinion, a lot of people who may suffer from this or have undiagnosed mental illness? Andra, are you still there?
Sorry. Yes, I muted it because my dog was working. We find that quite a bit with people who and I think clinicians experience it. I think family members experience that they'll meet someone who just does not have the insight into their what's going on with them. They'll have symptoms. They'll be showing symptoms. People will say something's off and they won't be able to see it. And the relationship building is the very important thing to not lose the relationship because of these, because of the situation. And we do find it quite a bit. And I think you would see, even when you talk with clinicians in our community, you would find some of the same things too. And then, so we run into a problem where, well, we can't help the person until they want to get help. And then, so when the nature of the illness is that they don't recognize that they need help, it's kind of like someone having a broken arm and then saying, no, my arm is not broken. And really believing that it's not broken, but you can see that it's crooked and it's broken. So it's a very it's a difficult situation to navigate. So that's why this process is helpful to people.
You know, I was just thinking about with the combination of COVID that we had, and then of course the Alameda fire that left so many people homeless and all of that. Did you see an increase in mental illness cases or issues during that time?
Well, yes and no, because a lot of things were shut down and we weren't, able to access it as much. But there was definitely people who ended up in the hospital more. I think you could probably talk with Asante and find out, that there was definitely has been an increase. Anyone who was maybe managing before, would find it more difficult. Now, some people with a mental health condition actually liked that they were able to do like their medical appointments on Zoom, and they actually found an increase of participation in therapy because it was on Zoom, and people just felt a little more comfortable with that. So it's kind of a mixed bag, actually.
We've been speaking with Bob Krulish, who will be coaching people on the LEAP method, listen, empathize, agree, and partner, and also speaking with Andra Hollenbeck from NAMI in Southern Oregon. Quickly, once again, what is the time on that and
it's,
date?
October 8th, Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock, about 3 hours, and you can register for that. There's a link on our website at namisouthernoregon.org. You can also call our office at 574-772. But that's all on the website. So,
Bob and Andra, thank you for joining me this morning on The Exchange.
My pleasure. Thank you, Mel.
Good to be here. Bye.